ho, hello, friends. It's Trevor, it's Avery, it's Pat, it's the citywide special. The Eagles dominate the Steelers to improve to 12-2. Concerns about the passing game are put to bed as A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith collect over 100 yards and a touchdown each. With the chance of the one seed, can the Eagles win out? The Birds take on the Commanders on Sunday. The Sixers' hellish season continues with Jared McCain going down with a meniscus tear. The star rookie will be out indefinitely. Embiid has returned to practice, however, and may return soon despite his broken face. Will the team ever catch a break? The Sixers face the Hornets on Friday. The Flyers lose a high-scoring game to the Red Wings on Wednesday. With the team hovering on the playoff bubble, what moves could Danny Briere make ahead of the trade freeze? The Phillies' offseason remains fairly quiet. Potential acquisitions continue to go elsewhere. Could the Phils be stuck running it back again in 2025? Well, that and more coming up right now. How's it going, fellas?
Feeling good. Feeling lucky to be in the presence here of Santa Claus. So that's a nice little twist here. You know, as you prepare and ramp up for the holiday season, I keep seeing UPS and all the Amazon and all the trucks out here. But it's nice that you were able to grace us with your presence during this busy time of year. You know, I'm sure you're ramping up as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, can't complain.
Yeah, it's weather-wise, it's... What's the weather been like? It's been cold, actually.
Cold, like half and half. Wet. It's like either balmy and wet or like just cold out at night.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, life's good. We're back from a brief hiatus. We had to call off last week. Pat, you were a little under the weather.
On the IL.
How you feeling?
I'm good to go. I'm ready to play on Sunday. I'm fine. Just had a little, you know, a rest. Had to take a little rest. I don't know what it was. I tested for COVID. Everything was negative, but I felt ill. I don't know what, how else to put it. It felt like I had the flu. I was, like, achy and not really feeling great. But by the next day, I felt better. But yeah. Just good to be on the IL for a little bit, but hop right off.
Yeah, I mean, probably feeling a little worn down.
Well, it was the first cold weather game. I don't think I had my layers on properly for that first cold weather game. So I think it was just me just sitting like this too much, I think is what it was. Because I don't remember getting that banged up. But who knows?
You know? We were out kind of late that Saturday. But
yeah.
Whatever.
Well, game's a game, baby. You know what I mean? You got to knock the rust off for these cold weather games. Now I'm back. I was feeling fine during that Pittsburgh game, and I felt great this week. So we're back, ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, we're back, baby. We're back in the presence of Santa Claus, even though last episode I talked about how old I was when I realized he didn't exist, Santa. So
yeah,
and now he's here.
It's nice for me to be a 35-year-old grown man and realize that Santa is real.
He kept those receipts.
He is sitting 6 feet away from me.
That's right.
What are you getting me for Christmas?
Getting you that Eagles win against the Commanders.
Okay, I'll take
yeah.
it.
We're going to, you know, Santa Claus is going to come in there and pay off the referees. And, you know, not that we have to, not that that's necessary, but.
Just to make it extra sweet.
To think this is a city that once threw snowballs at Santa.
I know, dude. Been on the side of the Philly sports fans this whole time.
Do y'all know the whole story about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Because some people, you know, like anyone that's not from here, they just like watch a nationally televised whatever, like Phillies game. Well, no, I guess not the Phillies game.
You watch a 30 for 30,
an Eagles
or you watch
game,
anything.
A Flyers game, a Sixers game where they're talking about throwing snowballs at Santa. Mind you, like most people listening to this probably know that, but if you don't, this happened in 1969. Like, none
summer
of us was
blow.
Born, like, straight up. Like, my dad was 13.
The fall of eight.
Yeah, like, I don't know. What's the story? Like, the guy was an imposter?
The original guy was wasted.
Yeah, that's right.
So they just pulled some
they
random
pulled some
guy
other, yep.
out of, like, the stands kid, yeah. who was equally probably as drunk, but was like, yeah, well, he fits the MO and not as drunk. So he was happy as shit to do it.
Kind of slightly
but
less
then,
drunk person to be Santa.
Then he went out there and, you know, the rest is history, so they say.
Yeah. I've never understood why that's even, like, considered a bad thing. It's just like, they didn't throw rocks at him.
Right.
Yeah.
They didn't put batteries
they
didn't, in the
right.
snowballs.
They
put
batteries,
they
yeah.
batteries inside
for.
The snowballs. I don't really see what the big deal is, honestly.
Also, like, the dude's from the snow. You would think that he would just enjoy that shit.
Yeah, you
it
know.
It can't be his first snowball.
Yo, you someone. This would have been something someone should have done for, like, the Inquirer or something. It's fine that that's Santa Claus who got the snowballs thrown at him. Ask him how he feels.
Yeah, he's been awful
man,
quiet.
I should have gone into
time.
Journalism.
He's been awful
I could
quiet.
Find this man and ask him.
We've been taking all the flack. He's been sitting there just reaping the benefits of being like, you know what? Yeah, They did hit me with snowballs, but he never came out and said anything. So then why are we getting blamed for it?
Yeah, he probably didn't even mind.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, he's famous for it. He's the Santa that shit. People threw snowballs at.
Right. Although he's like the
That guy's got a fun story to tell people at the bar for the rest of his life.
You know? But he's the bitch. He's the Santa that never threw snowballs back.
I mean, Santa doesn't throw snowballs back.
That one would have been the one to do it, though. I'll tell you what. That would have been great. If it was like
that would have been very
fight.
Philadelphia.
Yeah,
he would have been Santa. Would have been like fuck around and find out.
The Philly Santa is just decking people left and right. That would have been even better.
Just hitting people with chairs and shit.
Yeah,
it would have been like Trevor. You know what I'm talking about? The Boondock Christmas special where Riley tries to shoot Santa.
I don't know if I remember that one.
Oh, you remember where Riley writes the letter to Santa?
Oh yeah,
Dear Santa, you are a bitch. And then, then later, like, the one girl from, like, their school, Jasmine's talking about how, like, Santa's, like, Jesus, and he moved from the North Pole or forgave everyone of their sins. And Riley just goes, man, Santa, these nuts. Where was Santa when he was in the hood?
That also loved the Trailer Park Boys Christmas special.
Oh, yeah, I watched that
this
weekend.
Yeah, where Ricky thinks that Jesus and Santa are the same guy. Yeah. so good.
Yeah, it's like Bubbles, you know, and Ray, like his dad, are so disappointed in him.
Yeah.
They're like, Rick, no. He's like, what? So Santa and Jesus aren't the same person. Rick, no. So Christmas is fucked. Yeah, I watched that this weekend. But yeah, you know what else I watched? I watched both Home Alones. That's like one of my Christmas traditions. It's like those were my movies growing up. To this day, I dare say they're probably my favorite.
Yeah, whether they're on classics.
Whether on y'all's list of like favorite Christmas like shows, movies, whatever, traditions.
I'm a big Jingle All the Way guy. I love Jingle All the Way.
Not bad.
Love Sinbad. Like, I've always liked Sinbad. Like, Sinbad was kind of my introduction to comedy when I was a kid because he would have these comedy specials, but they were clean, so I'd be allowed to watch them, you know? So I've always had a place in my heart for Sinbad. And yeah, that movie's just great.
That's not the one with Arnold?
Yeah,
Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's a good one. That's a real good one.
It also just feels like it's such a different time because it's like, it was like every year there was that one toy that was like impossible to get.
Was that Captain
like,
Insano?
It was Turbo Man. But you know, there was like, I remember way back, we had like Tickle Me Elmo the one year. Yeah. And then it was like Furbies and all that shit.
Yeah, I remember, I guess it was Tamagotchis one year. Probably Pogs way back when.
Pogs. Damn. Pogs.
Yeah, I remember playing with Pogs in like elementary school.
Those slammers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably, somewhere in my parents' attic, there's probably a bunch of tubes of Pogs somewhere.
Might be worth a buck now.
Yeah.
A literal buck, yeah.
Yeah, literally worth a buck. Yeah.
Might be worth a little bit more.
Yeah, I got somewhere in my parents' attic are the probably the Pogs and my big binder of Pokemon cards. Mm,
those could be worth something, though, now.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
I never got any of like, the really good, like, I never got a Charizard.
Yo, I had a second edition Charizard. I just gave it to my nephew.
Man, well, that's nice.
I mean, I don't know what he did with it. He probably doesn't have it anymore, but.
Damn.
Well.
Pat, what's on your list? What's your Christmas?
My Christmas is always, I mean, there's so many. We have like a log of, we used to keep a sheet of like movies that we had to watch every Christmas. Especially now, Hannah and I, we have like a Excel sheet of like, all right, here's our Christmas lineup.
That's when you know you're an adult. You got an Excel sheet.
We just keep it because we want to make sure we hit them all now. Otherwise, it's like, you miss it. Like, I'm not going to watch it in, you know, August. You know what I mean? Like, some movies are only set for now, but Bad Santa's always up there. I like a couple classics. I like White Christmas. I like A Wonderful Life.
Classic.
I like The Holiday is a real big one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I've seen The Holiday.
It's a rom-com.
Yeah, Spruha introduced me to The Holiday a few weeks ago. That's a good one.
I've never
like
seen
Jack
that.
Black.
Jack Black's in it. What's it called? The chick from
Titanic.
Kate Winslet's in it. Cameron Diaz.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's got a star-studded cast.
Jude Law's in it.
Okay.
Yeah. The bad guy from A Knight's Tale, who's an equally bad guy, just without the whole jousting thing going on. But that's a good movie. I like The Family Stone is a good one. Gets me, I cry every time I watch it. You know what I mean? Shit like that. Yeah. Rudolph and all that,
the Rankin Bass stuff.
Elf is up there just to like kind of put on.
Elf is kind of a classic.
Yeah. You know,
it's also a Christmas story. That's like
a Christmas story.
That's the OG.
But that's like specifically Christmas Day, or Christmas Eve, whenever they put it on for like 24 hours straight.
Yeah, I think on like TV or TNT or TBS or whatever.
You can't forget the classics like that.
Yeah.
But Home Alone is up there as well. Mostly just Home Alone 1.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Home Alone 2 guy.
I prefer 2 to 1, but I like them both a lot.
Protesting Home Alone 2 because it has Donald Trump in it.
I didn't vote for this shit.
Yeah, no, okay. His little cameo is funny. I like was watching it and like it's like, oh, there he is. This fucking guy.
Yeah, has Donald Trump and also
some kid.
A lost kid. It just says, in a hotel, that way.
Just like.
Yeah. Has Home Alone 2 has, not only does it have Donald Trump, but it also has famous anti-vaxxer Rob Schneider.
Yeah. I didn't know that. And then I started, after I watched it, Rob, I was like, what's this guy up to? Then I went on his Wikipedia. He's unhinged.
He's like an OG. He was like an anti-vaxxer before COVID. He's like an OG vaccines cause autism guy.
Damn. Yeah,
he's been on that for years.
Yeah, he's wild. That's why Macaulay Culkin owned his ass.
Yeah, Die Hard. That's on the Christmas list as well.
See, I'm not. Have we ever had this discussion?
No, but I know you feel very strongly about this one.
Yeah. I mean, okay, I don't have any problem with if you want to make it like your little Christmas tradition that you watch Die Hard and stuff. That's all cool. But the people who are like, my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard. It's just like, shut the fuck up, you fucking nerd. Like, I'm sorry. Like, no, it's not. It's one of the best action movies of all time. I'm not taking anything away from Die Hard. Fantastic movie. But. It's a Christmas movie thing is just like complete fucking like epic bacon nerd bullshit.
It's not on my top 5, but it's just a movie that I watched during that.
Yeah,
call it a Christmas movie.
I don't call it a Christmas movie. Whenever, I just say that I watched it during that time.
This is like the number one test. It's like if you're watching TV, just flipping through channels in the middle of the summer in July or something, and Die Hard comes on, would you think that was strange? No. But if, like, Miracle on 34th Street was on, would you think that was strange?
Yeah.
Yes, because one of those is a Christmas movie.
Yeah,
and the other is not.
Yeah. That's a good one, too.
There you go.
If you had the time for it. Yeah, we watch a lot.
If you have the time. Yeah.
It's a long-ass movie.
Is it? I haven't seen it in a long time.
And it's, like, kind of just, it's like, you know, what is it, 50s, 60s?
Yeah, it's like one of those, like, OG movies that just doesn't
It's just an move you. Old, it feels
really like a Christmas story kind of moves you.
Christmas Story at least is a little bit more modern than that. That's like real. You're talking like,
yeah, I guess Christmas Story is like 67. Yeah, that 20 years makes a big difference.
Big difference, and most of them are all black and white until they like revitalize it or like colorize it or whatnot. But yeah, no, we got the good rotation going. We banged out a lot lately, but yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
'Tis the season. It's also 'tis the season for the Eagles.
'Tis the season for getting ready for the playoffs. I'll tell you what, the league was rocking back-to-back.
Go Birds.
Flyovers, too, which was nice. A nice little surprise. A couple of Jets flying around.
When I was walking to the cusp, the flyover flew right over me. I
saw like on Twitter when that happened, some people being like, yeah, what the fuck's with this? There was like Jets going over. Like not because everyone's freaking out about the drones, so now everyone's like on edge and shit.
We've been talking about the drones.
Someone in South Philly was like, someone must be in town. I'm like, no one's in town. It's just a fucking flyover.
Our jingoistic rituals that we do every fucking NFL
although I kind of miss the Eagle now. Like, that was kind of tight having that fly around.
The Eagle wasn't all loud but and it's whatnot. Good.
Maybe they he don't was do that anymore?
No, they, well, the last 2 weeks they've done the Jets.
Okay.
But usually,
I wonder if the Eagle's okay.
Well, he was getting kind of old, whatever his name was, Liberty or like Eagles can
live
or some
to, you
shit.
Know the Eagles can ball. The Eagles can live to be like 30 years old
at
least.
But he's probably getting shell-shocked. Like, it's loud as fuck. I feel bad for the guy when he's flying around that thing. The one game he landed on someone's head, and that guy got fucked up.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Imagine having him just plant his claws.
That's what I'm saying. It's all fun and games.
Talons digging in your skull.
Bald ass gets a fucking hook in the head. And everyone's laughing at you then and shit like that.
Somewhat breaking news, outfielder Max Kepler finalizing 1-year deal to the Phillies, pending a physical. We'll talk about the Phillies in a little bit. He's a good hitter, though. He's a good hitter now. I kind of like him.
Okay.
But we'll get to that. Sorry.
Yeah, man. No, not a big deal. But the link was rocking. It was a great day. It was actually kind of nice out. Like, I got all bundled up thinking it was going to be freezing cold out. But once
there
was
it wasn't, terribly
once
cold.
Once the game started, the wind died, and it got kind of – like, I had to take a couple layers off in the game.
Damn,
I got warm in there. And it was exciting, so you're kind of – sniffing playoff environment in the game, so everyone's all, you know, you're on your feet pretty much the whole entire game and shit like that. But it was nice. I enjoy Pittsburgh fans coming into town because everybody that I met that was a Pittsburgh fan was very chill. They were like, there's no animosity. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's a fun game to like play. Almost like
we're not rivals.
It's like a sibling fight, which is kind of fun.
We're rivals, but not in the traditional sense, the Cowboys or like the Giants, right?
And we typically handle business in Philly. Like, they haven't won in Philly since what, the 60s? Like, so, you know.
Yeah, since fucking JFK got shot or whatever.
Yeah, we sent Russell Wilson home with his first L against the
Eagles. Yeah, that's true.
He's hold on. What do y'all think of him? I think he's washed.
I think it's twofold. I think Pittsburgh is a fraudulent team anyway. I think their offense is garbage. But seeing how Denver has kind of transpired and gone on a little bit of a run here without him, I don't know if they go on that 5-game, 29-plus point run with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Mr. So, Broncos fans, let's ride.
Once I saw that shit, I was like, this guy is corny as fuck. And then he went to Pittsburgh and they started winning. But like, that defense is really, really good.
And also, to be fair, they were winning games with Justin Fields too.
So. I mean, Mike Tomlin can win with fucking any of us playing quarterback. Like, they find a way to win. Pickens being out, I think, was probably a factor for sure. Because
they
don't
have a whole lot of weapons outside of
it. Yeah.
I mean, Najee Harris sucks, dude.
Yeah, but they're good enough to win games. Like, your defense is that good. You can run the ball decently well. But Russell Wilson just isn't that guy.
Nice.
And like, you know. But Pittsburgh, I was nervous. Actually, no, I was so confident going to that game. I felt really good.
Yeah, when we were hanging out on Saturday, you're like, yeah, I think we're going to smoke them. And I was like, oh, I don't know if we smoke them, but hey.
We pretty much did.
Yeah, the score made it seem like the game was closer than it was.
We kicked their ass. I'd say so.
But dude, I guess the obvious plus on that game is the passing game came alive in a big way.
So are you surprised?
No, not really. I mean, no, I feel like we've all seen it. It was just like the whole year. It's like, okay, like I know they have this in their pocket, but I would like to see it at some point. So, you know, that was kind of a relief to know that, you know.
Yeah, I feel like even the media now is like, well, we didn't paint that story. Like Brandon Graham said that like no one was coming at the whatever pass offense, but like they kind of were like, you know. Quietly, right? They were like, well, Hurts hasn't really had to do a whole lot. Like, they're winning games without Hurts.
That's been the story all year. It's like, Saquon.
That's fine. Like, we have the weapons to do it if we need to do it, but we don't need to. Saquon doesn't show up for half the game, you know, with a weird little injury or whatever he was going through. And, like, to your point, two receivers, your two best guys had 100-plus yards and a touchdown apiece, 10-plus receptions. Like, the guy was efficient as fuck against a really good defense.
Yeah.
I mean, the Steelers' passing defense isn't great. Like, I think I have it written down here. They,
their corners are not very great.
They were, I can't read my own notes. They were 23rd in passing defense.
Sure.
So, like, their passing defense isn't great, and a lot of it is their front seven.
That's what
good.
I wasn't worried about their corners, but I was worried about you got TJ Watt, you know, Cam Hayward's still a beast. Their front seven is still ferocious and has a lot of pressure. And Hurts this season, when he has had to throw, has had a lot of moments of like later Carson Wentz where he's just holding the ball and kind of trying to make something happen, but nothing is going to transpire. So that's what I was concerned about. I knew if he had time and could find a guy, he'd be good to go. But the offensive line held their own. Lane Johnson looked a little sloppy for a couple plays
It's TJ Watt, though.
I get it, but... I mean, what more does he need to fucking do? Like, I don't know what.
No. Like, as far as the narrative on Hurts, like, I will say that Carolina game, he looked really bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I was high key panicking, but I was definitely concerned. Like, yeah, he can't play like this in the playoffs. He can't play like this against a good team. Like, to the Eagles' credit, like, A.J. Brown comes out and says passing's the problem. Like, Devontae Smith is him and A.J. Brown are animated on the sidelines having conversations. Brandon Graham, I love him, but like goes on WIP and just talks unfiltered nonsense that didn't really help the situation, probably just fueled the fire, certainly from the media and the fan perspective. But the Eagles then last week had some, I think they called them tough conversations.
Yeah.
And like they figured it out, they solved it. Yeah, like A.J. Brown being upset, I think kind of blew it out of proportion, but there wasn't a reasonable, like, from a fan perspective, there was reason to be a little concerned after that Carolina game.
There's multiple games even before that where, like, A.J. Brown's wide open for an easy first down and we have to go 3 and out. So, like, I get the frustration. I think that it's it's kind of like you can't make a Philadelphia fan happy with this shit, right? Where like last season they were like run the fucking ball, but they threw a shit ton, right? Like AJ Brown almost, I don't know if he set a record or almost did, where he had like back seven straight games of 125 plus yards, and look at the downfall that happened. Where like now, okay, we're running the ball, we have a potential MVP at running back that's been put to bed since Allen's been going nuts, but like you have a guy that could break the rushing record at least then with this O-line. And they're like, well, I guess Hurts can't throw because they run the ball too much. It's like, no, we can do it if we need to, but we don't need to force it. And I feel like that was the most balanced game we've had.
Turns out we're good at everything, baby.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, this offense, we called it the beginning of the season. It's like there's so many weapons where there was no flaw.
Yeah.
I didn't anticipate having a top one or two offensive line again with Kelsey being out and stuff like that. But
you knew Saquon was going to be good. You didn't think he was going to be like record-breaking good.
Yeah, no one thought this was coming.
Not at all. So it's like whatever you need. I don't give a shit. Shout out Kenneth Gainwell though. I think he had a tremendous game.
Yeah, that spin move was dope, dude. Like that was wild.
He had that in his pocket. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's just been raring to go. So if Saquon does go down for a game or two, which I think he'll be fine anyway, but Gainwell's always been a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always been reliable.
In his he's maximized his opportunities.
The 2022 playoffs, he had a 100-yard rushing game against the Giants. People forget about that. Mm-hmm. Like he was great. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up resting Saquon towards the end of the year because you want him fresh for the playoffs, and he would have to go on a tear to hit the record at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you're in good hands with Gainwell. He gains well.
Yeah.
The perfect true. Name for a running back. Gainwell.
Yeah, for sure.
He was good.
Defense looked like it was playing Green Bay again, right, where the offense goes down, they fumble the ball in the red zone, and then – or they fumble the ball deep in their own territory –
Yeah, I mean, the beginning of that game,
they held them to a field goal. Yeah,
beginning of the game, we coughed the ball up twice, and the Steelers only got 3 points out of it.
Cooper DeJean, that was what it was, the fumble.
Yeah, on the return, yeah.
But the defense did what they do. I mean, the defense, I don't know. I mean, the 2017 team was really good at defense as well, but we were putting up 35 points a game just about, too, so the offense, I think, was a little bit more efficient. But this defense is... You know, they're not getting all the sacks like that other team did where we were stiffing the 85 Bears. Yeah, but
that 2022 defense, like...
They were exposable, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, this one is
they're kind of getting some
but
ball
this secondary, luck. I think, is one of the... It's been the best secondary I've seen on an Eagles team since, I think, like, Lito Shepard, B-Dawg, that kind of era.
I would agree with that. And then, like, I mean, if you want to put this team up against 2017 team, 2017, like, we had Ronald Darby... we had Malcolm Jenkins, who's one of my favorite safeties ever.
Rodney McLeod.
Corey Graham, Rodney McLeod.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Robinson.
That secondary is actually better than it was good. I give it credit for, actually, now. I would still take this one over that one.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're kind of seeing a mirror of that, right? Where, like, the biggest factor of the 2022 downfall is that our linebacking core wasn't as solid. We're here. And
the coaching sucked.
Right.
Too.
We're here. You have. It's the first time. I mean, we're the only team in the NFL that has two linebackers that have 100 plus tackles, 3 plus sacks, and like a pick or a turn, like some kind of turnover that way. Only one in the NFL. If you would have told me we had the best linebacker core coming into this season, I'd be like, you're smoking dope.
No, I would take these linebackers over the 2022 and probably the 2017. I mean, we had Bradham. Jordan Hicks got hurt that year. I don't even remember who the other one was.
Michael Kendricks was there.
Kendricks. Yeah, I would take these linebackers over them.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, defensive line, I'd probably take that D-line over
I would
this
take
one.
That D-line, too. I mean,
you had Prime Fletch, you had Prime BG, Chris Long, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that D-line
Derek
was
Barnett
good.
Was actually playing well.
Yeah, Barnett was good back then. Yeah, Timmy Jernigan,
mm-hmm.
he was playing cooking. Good. Yeah, that D-line was better. But other than that, this defense is probably better. Coaching, Jim Schwartz was really good that year.
Real good.
The coaching's probably, it's probably a wash between the two, like, I don't know. Jim Schwartz, he gave up 500 yards in the Super Bowl, but other than that, he was on one that entire season.
I mean, you could have had anybody playing, you could have had a genius defensive coach. Those teams were both, I mean.
Yeah, they were just on fire that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, what the most encouraging thing about this game was that final drive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, unbelievable. 21
plays. Yeah. It was like 10 minutes.
97 yards.
Yeah. 10 and a half
like
minutes.
10 minutes. And, you know, I think. If you can win games like that, you can beat anybody.
Yep,
in my opinion. And you know, given that it feels like at some point we're probably going to be playing the Lions in the in the playoffs.
Maybe not, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how things shake out, I guess. But You know, the fact that they've pretty much had the been having a win in these like shootouts, and if you can grind a team out like that and keep the ball away from the other team's offense, that's a recipe for fucking victory right there. So that's really encouraging to me that they can, they're capable of just having those long, slogging, sustaining drives like that.
It was beautiful. I mean, and they probably they should have scored. I was hoping for a touchdown too at the end, just to cap it off, because like they got so close. But I get the kneels and all that stuff. But
you never know what could happen.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm okay with that. But it was in my end zone, so I was like, come on, give me one more little treat here real quick. But it was fine, you know. The game's a game. But that was impressive. You don't see a lot of teams be able to do that against, you're not, you know, if they did that against Carolina, it's like, okay, well, no big deal. But Pittsburgh's defense, especially the way that they were handling that 10-minute drive, it was a lot of, you know, 3-yard runs or a little dump off valve. Like, we didn't need that. We weren't launching the ball. We marched up the field with little dinks and dunks or running plays. Just a great all around win. Special teams looked a little sloppy for the first, I guess, the whole game, really. But Vic Fangio had a good comment about Cooper the Genie. Like, they asked him about how he felt about that, if he was worried about Coop, or do you talk to him at that point or whatnot? And he was like, just put him back in. Like, he just had a bad play. It is what it is. Like, he's the kind of guy that just, you'll make up for it. And that team doesn't, they don't waver.
Yeah.
You fuck up, they figure it out. Whether it's the offense that fumbles or special teams that messes up or defense that gives up a touchdown, the team just finds a way to keep grinding.
Yeah. I mean, that's credit to our boy Sirianni.
Yep.
Which, we got to get Marlon and Dino on the pod to have this conversation, saying Sirianni is the best coach in Eagles history. I'm not going that far by any means. I know y'all are listening, and we kind of had this conversation at McCusker's on Sunday. But I did also say I give Sirianni credit for establishing the culture, keeping the culture, and like this team's play personality, the way they look out for each other, like that comes from the top. And yeah, Sirianni, I mean, we'll have to see what he does in the playoffs. If, like, for whatever reason, we make the playoffs and lose in the first round, I think he could still lose his job. But other than that, he's secured himself some job security with this run we've been on. 10 in a row for the first time in franchise history.
And 10 convincing wins. It's not like we're, like, last year where we had, like, you know.
I wouldn't say they're all convincing. That Carolina game was.
Yeah,
that's
Carolina.
Fine.
We could have easily lost that game.
That's fine. And we could have easily won the game against
Atlanta.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah. It, you know, it goes
that's still,
both.
That's still killing me that
we could have 12-1.
It goes
13-1.
We'd be cruising to the one seed right now.
It goes both ways, but, like, I'm not going to crucify him for that Carolina game. We all said that was a. That was, like, the gimmick game right there. Like, that was your probably dark horse to, like, lose. You know what I mean? Like, a trap game. But they pulled it off. They won the game. I'm over it. I don't really care too much about it, especially the way they came back and bounced back and had a good win, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm there with you. Like, I'm not here to kill anyone for it, but yeah, I'm just saying not every game's been convincing. But anyway, we can move off this one. I guess we can talk about, do we want to talk about the Commanders game? Or do we want to talk about the one seed and their potential for that?
I think we get into a little one seed talk.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton to say about the Commanders game, but
been there, done that.
Already played them once.
Yeah. I think that it's a tricky. I don't know. I mean, you look at the schedules right now. San Fran, like they could play upset and beat Detroit. Detroit is also so injury plagued.
Yeah, Detroit's
like,
banged up.
They're not
as banged up as, like, I try to think of, like, oh, like, they're still playing really well. Maybe they're like the Eagles of 2017 where we had injuries, but we didn't have that many.
Half their starting.
You know, we had a crucial,
injured.
You know, Wentz going down was, like, the big one, and we lost Peters.
Like our entire
defense. Peters was already 35 anyway, so, like, okay, you figure it out. You know, Big V, you don't win that Super Bowl without him. No. So that was a huge step up for that. But Detroit has, I don't even know, what, 13, 15 people on IR?
Yeah,
IL?
I mean, David Montgomery just went down. Ali McNeil, their star D tackle.
I think they have like over 20
Anzalone,
people.
20 now,
their
yeah.
linebacker.
And you're seeing it transpire where like they have to go through shootouts because the defense just,
yeah, they
you
can't
know,
stop anything.
Next man up mentality is fine,
so
but when
like,
you have
all
to
you
do,
gotta do is get a couple stops on them.
Or score yeah. first. You know, you go up on them. They're not the same like bite their kneecaps off defensive team that they used to be. I mean, they have so many, you know, next man up mentality works fine when two guys go down, but when half your position group is out and your backups are getting hurt, they're screwed.
Yeah. It was
potentially
funny though. I was, after seeing the, you know, even more injuries that they picked up this week, I was thinking to myself, you know what? Like the Bears might be able to beat them on Sunday.
And they're in the cold.
And then I watched the Bears Vikings game on Monday. I was like, yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah.
The Bears are so bad.
It's great that the Eagles and the Lions Bears games on the same time because like I do not want to have to fucking watch another game right there for the fucking Bears.
Yeah, I mean, rooting for
that
them
was
on
brutal.
Dude, rooting for them on Thanksgiving when the coach cost them the game.
I know, man. My God.
Monday night was arguably worse.
They just couldn't
get out of their own way. They had what?
I know, they had a goal. Couple like really good. Oh, that yeah.
The,
they were
the Thanksgiving game. They had the game in the bag. Just
they
about.
Were like they were first and goal from the 1 yard line, and then what was it? A penalty?
There were like
and
two
then,
straight penalties, or like maybe a penalty and a sack. Next thing you know, they're at like the 20.
But then they gained the penalty back because of the pass interference. It was like 3rd and 25 at one point. Then they got a free first down at like the 30, and then they just. Never moved from there.
Yeah, that team sucks.
I am in pain watching that as an Eagles fan. I can't even imagine how it is to be a Bears fan. Yeah, and he has the fucking balls to say in the beginning to the punter, yeah, you're gonna have to punt again. And the left tackle's like, he won't be getting touched. And they punted so many times. He got sacked, what, 4 or 5 times last game? Like, it's just there.
Yeah, one of my good friends, Kevin Bauman from Northwest Indiana. I don't think he listens to the pod, but maybe he does. He's a diehard Bears fan. Like, he'll be posting on Instagram, just like him with his dog or his cat, just like, yeah, watching the Bears. Here we are.
Pathetic, man. But like, damn, even dude. With all that being said, I think that being that they're outside in the cold will be a big test for Detroit because they've had a historical run of indoor or hybrid games.
Well, you were just
playing
the Jahmyr Gibbs clip before we started recording.
Mm-hmm. He said, I don't want to go up north, and now he's up north. But it'll be cold in Chicago this weekend, so hopefully that'll play a factor. But, this team just fucking sucks. Like, they find a way to lose a lot.
They really do.
I think they were, what, they're 0-6 or 0-5 since that Hail Mary pass against Washington, where the guy was like this.
Yeah, they were
while
doing,
the play was going
early
wrong.
In the year. They were like 4-2 or 4-1 or something.
Since that picture, they haven't won a game.
That's bad.
That's nuts.
Like
that's so bad.
And dude, like you would think they'd be good. They like Caleb Williams, like a lot of potential, a lot of upside in a young QB. They have what do you call it? Keenan Allen, DJ Moore.
Yeah,
right? Some good,
DeAndre
some
Swift was popping off.
DeAndre
too.
Swift's been decent. Like,
it's just like you said though, coaching that lot once you lose, they seem like their team is just is it disheveled? Disheveled, whatever
disheveled,
it is. Yeah, disheveled. They're just fucked up. They don't know what they're doing. But I'm not worried about that. But we do need them to at least do something to help us out here with the one seed. But you got Chicago outside in Chicago, which they could lose. Then they also play San Fran in San Fran, which not for nothing. Like the defense is still there.
Do they still have anything to play for?
I don't think so.
San Fran.
I think it depends if Seattle is on the cusp of a playoff push.
They're in the hunt, as they say.
Yes.
So I guess San Fran's technically still in
the
hunt.
I think the Rams locked it down. But also, Arizona's in the hunt, too.
Yeah, I think the NFC West is a lot undecided yet. So San Fran's probably technically still in it.
Yeah.
And then against the Vikings.
Which at that point.
That could mean a lot or it could mean a little.
We still also have to handle business on our own, too. I think. The Washington game will probably be our last biggest test.
Well, we can't discredit the Vikings in all this either.
No,
the Vikings are also 12-2. They got Seattle away this week, then Green Bay at home, then Detroit.
Yeah, that's tough.
So they could lose to I don't know. Seattle's pretty fucking bad too, though. Like they're not the
Green Bay is the game they could lose.
That's what we need them to lose. I think we need San Fran to beat. I mean, I don't know. I don't see how the Bears beat Detroit, honestly. But if they lose one more, we're good to go. We went out. We're in the bank. And if not, I'm not afraid. Like, the Vikings are a soft-ass team. Detroit is banged up, and I really don't trust that team at all. You know, onside kick with 12 minutes left, you're down by 10. Or down by 12, 10 minutes left, onside kick. They're just an immature team, I think, and they're banged up. So you got a lot of people that aren't, you know, used to playing, having real time playing in crunch time. This isn't week one where you're having, like, you know, rookies play. You're talking about week 15, week 16. You got second, third players coming in playing. I think we got the one seed in the bag if we handle business.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like this Commanders game.
That's our last biggest test.
We can shift to talking about the game now. I mean, it's hard to beat a team in your division twice. especially like I shouldn't say that.
A decent team.
A good team.
Yeah. You're not playing the Giants. Yeah, I mean, that's an easy sweep.
I mean, they beat us last year one of the games, but yeah, different story.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's hard to beat a decent team twice.
Yeah.
In a season, and like they've made some changes. They didn't have. They had just traded for Marshawn Lattimore last time, and he was injured. They have him this time. Then the other cornerback, Sandrasil, like he had a good game against us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like their secondary, theoretically, they should be better. Jaden Daniels was banged up in that game against us last time. He's looking better. He's looking healthier. I mean, the line on this game is only Eagles -3.5. So, like, that kind of tells you all you need to know. Like, the Commanders, for all intents and purposes, are going to get up for this game. Brian Robinson's on, like, Washington radio talking about how they shot themselves in the foot, which he's wrong. I mean, they didn't really shoot themselves in the foot. The Eagles were just the better team that day. But yeah, they believe that they're a good team, and they're going to come in and try to prove something.
I mean, they are a good team. There's no knock about it, right? They're going to be in the playoffs probably. They're still got some life to them to maybe move up to the sixth seed or whatever they want to do to move up here and there. But, you know, they're at home. They actually have some life to this Washington team, which they haven't had in a long time. So I think it is probably the last big test for the Birds to play in this stretch. I mean, Dallas could be annoying, but at least that's home. So I'm not really worried about that.
Hell no.
But yeah, it'll be a tough game. I think it'll be probably closer than people might. I mean, the spread says all it needs to say, but I think it will be a very, very close game. I don't think the spread was that big for the Pittsburgh game either, but we kicked their ass. Unless they catch fire, you know, lightning in a bottle, and the Birds blow them out somehow, which is fine. But I'm going in there cautiously optimistic. Yeah, I don't feel great about it.
I mean, like, think about it. Like, Washington's statistically speaking, where are they at? So they're sixth in offensive DVOA, 25th in defensive DVOA. So that offense can put up some points now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, they didn't against us, but again, that was because Jaden Daniels was kind of banged up. And Quinion Mitchell, like, he did a great job against Terry McLaurin, the Eagles'
defense.
Well,
they didn't throw to him.
Because Quinion Mitchell was on him like wet on rice. But yeah, I do expect Washington to have some things pulled up their or tricks up their sleeve to pull out for this game. It's because, again, I mean, they saw a lot of what the Eagles had to offer. I mean, sure, the Eagles have some tricks up their sleeve too, but I think Washington comes out and looks better. I'm not saying they win this game, but things being a good game. Like our man Alucky, the short man. Yeah, it is a great game.
Yeah.
It is a great game. Where are my $5? But nah, man. What do you call it? Austin Eckler, he's banged up. He's out.
He
was good. He was good for them this year. But then Ertz had a good game against us last time.
He's concussed. Yeah. I think the only people that really
that garbage time touchdown.
Yeah.
That catch was nice.
Yeah.
That catch was nice. It was side, like, back of the end zone, toe tap. That was a nice catch. Ertz still has it a little bit, dude.
He's a dainty tight end. He's not a physical tight end, but whatever. I mean, yeah, it'll be a tough game. Divisional games this time of year are always tough anyway. And, like, whether or not
if Ertz doesn't play, I feel a lot better.
Whether or not it's a tough schedule or not, like, three divisional games in a row is difficult, no matter how you paint it, you know, especially the second go-around. So it'll be tough. I think we are in a good spot having it'll be two of them at home, so that's good to end the season that way. If we can handle business against Washington and come home on an 11-game win streak, you know, with the number one seed at the end of the tunnel.
You can't say it's in the bag yet, yeah.
I think they'll be in a very good position. I think if they lose on Sunday, obviously it'll be tough to see how that works out, but this is like playoff start this Sunday for the Birds, in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they do need to kind of win out, so you're not wrong.
Like, we can't rely on
theoretically, they need to win out.
You take care of business, and theoretically, you could win out and still only get the number two seed, which is fine, whatever. I just think that you need to go into the playoffs with a good mindset, a good push. You know, you beat Washington, you might have to play them a third time. Even if you do win out.
It seems pretty likely.
Even if you do win out and we don't get the number one seed, we're going to probably play Washington, which will be very difficult to beat three times. At least we'll be home, though.
Of all the likely wild card teams, they're the highest at, like, over 30%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
I don't want to play Washington, and I don't want to play Tampa Bay. Those are the two teams I don't want to play in the playoffs.
I was saying this at the cusp the other night. Like, I would rather play anyone other than Tampa Bay.
I don't know what it is.
I'd rather play the Lions in the first round than play Tampa Bay. I mean, Todd Bowles just has our number, especially in the playoffs. Ugh. then Baker, like, Baker carved us up earlier this year.
It's been good, yeah.
But anyway, what else we got to say about this Eagles game? Nothing. Score predictions? Y'all got one?
I mean, got one. I'm going to go... I guess I got to go, like, 27... I think I'm going to go 27-17.
Okay. Yeah, I got 24-16. Eagles, ninth in offense DVOA, third in defense DVOA. I can't remember the last time the Eagles let a team score over 20 points. Mm-mm. Do you remember that? I don't remember it. Yeah. When's the last time a team scored 20 points against us?
Not during this stretch. I mean, garbage time, but...
Who?
Then in Baltimore?
I don't think so.
I think we haven't given more than 22 points. I think it's very specific. I think we've given up 20, 21.
Let's see this.
I think Baltimore hit 20. Hit
20?
Listen, I could be wrong. I'm just saying.
Maybe they did because of that garbage time TD. You might be right.
At the end when Lamar ran for like 60 yards.
Yeah, when untouched. Milton Williams got like tackled.
Yeah.
It's not loading. Whatever, I'll take your
shout out to Milton Williams as well. He's like top 10 in defensive tackle numbers too right now.
Yeah, I mean the whole D-line. Nolan Smith's balling. Nolan Smith was on one that game.
Yeah, he was killing it.
He looked great. My boy, the guy that I had a dream the Eagles drafted. Remember that? When we drafted him, I said I had a
Carter?
Dream. No, Nolan Smith.
Yeah. Oh, Nolan Smith. I said that.
But then we got Carter, too, and I was like, oh, wow, now we're really playing with gas. Or cooking with gas.
What's your score?
Let's go 33-28 Eagles.
33?
High scoring.
Look, I got Jaden Daniels in my fantasy semifinals. I need some points.
Yeah, Sam's got some money on this game.
I need Jaden Daniels to put up some numbers, and I just have to put up a little better numbers.
Sam's got some fucking money on this. He said, ho, hold on now.
Yeah. It's not even – it's like this year I was like inversely – like I did the best in the league that was for the least money and did the worst and that with the most, and, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. But – I still got a chance to win one of them.
Yeah, you
got to
clean up somewhere.
Yeah.
What was I about to say? I was about to say something. What was I about to say? Damn, I forgot. Oh, no. I was about to say, before we move on, we got to talk about Pittsburgh a little bit. I like Pittsburgh as a city.
I've never been. I'd like to go. Nice, I've heard it's
Pittsburgh's
nice.
A cool little city. It's surrounded nice. By mountains and rivers. It's got all the bridges.
Yeah,
I went to, like, the Phillies played the Pirates there in probably about 2011.
Yeah, I'd love to go to a game
great
there.
Stadium.
I might have told this on the pod one time, but we were out there for a family vacation. We just ended up spending the vacation going to Phillies games.
That's
Phillies
awesome.
Pirates games. It was a 4-game set. We went every day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what I will say about Pittsburgh, Primanti Bros sucks ass, dude.
You what ever, is it?
It's like... So, you know how Philly's known for hoagies and cheesesteaks?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People always say Pittsburgh's known for Primanti Bros.
The fuck is that?
What is that?
It's like this, like, restaurant chain that has sandwiches that people, like, out there rave about. So, a few years ago, what was I doing out there? I was going somewhere out in the Midwest, and I stopped in Pittsburgh, right off the PA Turnpike. I stop by here a lot. I usually go to the Sheets, but this time I went to Primanti Bros. I was like, damn, I'm going to get me a beer and see what the hype is all about. This sandwich was mediocre as hell, dude.
What is it? Is it meat?
It's like, you can get a bunch of different sandwiches. So, like, I was with Noel. Shout out, Noel. He got, like, a burger sandwich. That sandwich was ass. And I forget what I got. It was a little better. It was not very good.
The name just sounds off pretty, too.
And it's a chain. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how, like, cheesesteaks and hoagies you can get anywhere. Primanti Bros is a specific chain that has these
mediocre chain of ass. Like it's like a human centipede.
Sandwiches, this soggy, greasy bread, like
they're like the Waluigi of
hoagie places.
That's
makes
actually
sense.
Very that's accurate.
The name sounds like that.
That's super accurate.
Primanti Bros.
Yeah,
it almost sounds like someone was like, "All right, Philly's got DeBruno Brothers. What about for their like high end cheese?" And
yeah, we got.
How about like, Permani Brothers?
It might as well have been Jimmy John's. Yo, that was butt.
Ew!
Isn't Jimmy John's is like closing down? Right? They got bought out by a private equity, so they're probably gonna.
I thought that was Jersey Mike's.
Oh, that's right, Jersey Mike's.
So Jersey Mike's is. I don't want to say as it's far as all like right,
chain,
like,
yeah, for a chain hoagie, not bad.
It's better than Subway or Quiznos.
If you're out of town somewhere and are craving a hoagie, like you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my guys at work. I was like, "Yo, yeah, what are you doing for New Year's?" He lives right outside Cleveland. He's like, "Yeah, I ordered catering," and And like, I've talked to him about hoagies before, and I've disparaged Jersey Mike's to him before. I was like, oh, where'd you get a hoagie from? He's like, eh, I know you're not going to like this, but Jersey Mike's. And I was like, hey. He's like, it's the best I got. And I'm like, you know what? I hear that. If I lived in middle of nowhere, Ohio, Jersey Mike's would probably seem really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get what you can get. Like, you're not getting Subway's. Right? You're not getting Quiznos.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a step above Subway.
It's up there. You're not impressing the sub menu.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
But now I had another Pittsburgh point to bring up. I don't remember it. Pittsburgh's an all right city, though.
Yeah, I like it. You know, they got all the bridges out there. You know what I mean? Little rivers. But fuck them. They suck at football, so yeah. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and hockey.
Fraudulent-ass team.
Hockey, too. Well, they can kiss my ass.
Yeah. They can kiss my puck.
So I guess should we move? No, let's move on to the Phillies. We got to talk this big news. Yeah. I got to look up Max Kepler's
status. Who they sign? Gabe Kepler?
No, Max Kepler. Max. I was about to say Max Kepler. Max Kepler. He's an outfielder. He was on the Twins. He's had some good years. I kind of know his game a little bit. I'm trying to pull his baseball
reference. I'm unfamiliar with his game, to be honest with you.
No, I know a little bit about Max Kepler.
Little MK? Little Max Kepler? Kepler? With an E? What were his stats last year? How many home runs did he hit?
He's had some good years, dude. Give me a second.
Give me last year's stats. I don't care about 2 years ago.
In 2024, he played in 105 games, finished with
He was born in Germany. All right, get a German guy.
That makes sense.
Team.
Max Kepler?
No, he wasn't very good last year.
Yeah, he had a 682 OPS.
Yeah, so talk about.
The year before that.
We got a little project piece.
The year before that, he was good.
Yeah, the year before that,
he
was
good. The
year
before
that, he was bad.
So it's every other year. So this is good. We bought him on a bad year.
His last really good year was 2019. He had 36 bombs.
5 years ago? I'm not excited about this move. I tell you what,
fellas. He's 23. He had an 816 OPS.
He's going to be better than Austin Hayes. Like, if you think.
Man, Austin Hayes didn't play. We can't. Listen, I think you guys are getting hung up on this Austin Hayes trade. I'm not going to lie. He didn't play.
He sucked.
Sure.
When he did play, he sucked.
He played 10 games?
Do you realize?
When
no,
he played 10 games?
Come on. Let's look it up.
As a Philly.
He didn't walk a single time in his entire Phillies tenure.
I'm just saying, you guys are getting hung up on this shit, the fucking Austin Hayes stuff.
He played 22 games, 80 plate appearances. He hit 256 with a 275 OBP, a 397 slug. He didn't walk a single goddamn time. He did hit two home runs.
I'm just saying, I think that whatever, take it what it's worth, but like, this is not, he could come up on the team too, not do shit. He didn't do shit last year either.
Yeah, whatever, it's a 1 year deal. You didn't give up trade equity the same way you gave up trade equity for
Austin
Hayes.
I'll take it. I'm not jumping up and down. We're going to let this marinate.
Yeah, he's a guy.
I think they're buying low and hoping for good results. He's 31. He could have a couple more good years left in him yet.
I'm not ready to fucking have him here for a couple
years. In 2019,
years.
He came 20th in MVP, but.
Wow.
Yeah, he used to be good, dude.
Yeah,
like, I'm
5 years
you.
Ago.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, outside of
that. He's been in Minnesota this entire career so far.
Yeah, I mean, that ballpark isn't conducive to offense.
That is true.
Yeah, let's just keep making excuses for this guy. We don't
I'm not
know
making
him yet.
No excuses.
Amy's about to marry him now.
I'm just saying. Probably the most exciting Phillies news we have this offseason.
It's the only move they've done.
Nah, they signed Jordan Romano.
Man.
Which, that's nothing to write home about, but it's a move. So yeah, Jordan Romano, his stats. The Jordan Romano move, like, is the definition of a buy low, hope for the best. So he was 1-2 last year. 6.59 ERA. In 13 2/3 innings, he got hurt. But then the 2 years prior, he was an all-star.
Wow, great.
No, you have to think about it this way. Like, when they brought in Jeff Hoffman, you weren't like, oh, wow. Look how that worked out. When they brought in Jose Alvarado, you had no idea who the hell he was.
I'm okay with it. Then let's keep it as these are nobodies. They're not going to do shit. I'm in the mindset of I'm not getting pumped unless they bring in a big name. I'm okay with it.
All the big names are gone.
Not everybody. Yeah. Not this guy.
Who?
Max Kepler now.
No, I mean all the legit big names. Like, Soto, you knew they weren't going to get
it. Yeah.
But, like, you're hoping Bellinger, they could swing that trade. He goes to the Yankees. Kyle Tucker goes to the Cubs. What do you call it? Who else? Oh, Garrett Crochet goes to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like, everyone that you wanted the Phillies to get, they're gone. So,
and you know what else?
Jordan Romero, Max Kepler,
Romano.
Romano.
It's not Romano. I was listening to Romano. The Matt Gelb, the Phillies Therapy podcast, and he kept saying, no, it's Romano.
Well, you know,
and like that's how most people in South Jersey would say it.
White guys.
We didn't need this. We needed something different.
Other than so, though, what like good black or brown players have been signed?
You got to find someone then.
Yeah, the Phillies need to find someone.
You got
to
go down to the Dominican Republic.
They need a Dominican with dreads and a big non-matching elbow pad that walks up to Bad Bunny.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what they need, dude.
Go down to Puerto Rico, go down to the Dominican Republic, find someone that no one knows about, and then...
Or get a Japanese guy. We lamented this last year. Yeah. We don't have any... We haven't had a Japanese player since Sō Taguchi in 2009.
Is he still on the market, though, that one cat?
Yeah, but like...
Is he a pitcher?
He's a pitcher, but it's weird because you can only sign him to a minor league deal. I don't know quite understand the politics of it.
Well, whatever. Either way, Phillies made
a move. Phillies need someone that's... Not a white guy.
We signed a German dude. You can't get any whiter than that shit.
That is very white.
Yeah, that's funny.
They were like, we need some spice. They're like, we got something for you right here. Here's some fucking sauerkraut and pierogies. You're like, well, all right.
He belongs in Pittsburgh with the pierogies. Get him out there.
We had a pierogi casserole at the game. That shit rocked.
The pierogi casserole.
Have you guys been to Little Walters yet?
What the hell is that?
Who's that?
It's, it's just like... like Polish plate, a restaurant. It's in like Kensington, but it's like supposed to be like really fucking good. I want to try it.
Yeah, it's supposed to have like
really good pierogies.
You ever make your own pierogies?
Never made them. Now
I remember when we lived at Wolf House, Nick did that one time.
They're good.
It seemed tedious, but they look good.
It is. Yeah, tedious.
there was some like art, like so it was like the New York Times like food section whatever came out with an article the other day that was like the top 25 like dishes that we ate, and like one of them was these certain kind of pierogies
from Little Walters.
Gotta try it out.
Get a little cheese.
What would they say made them so good?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Probably the love they made it with.
I saw this on TikTok.
You saw the headline. You're like, oh, sounds good.
Hold up. What are you going to do once TikTok gets banned?
Dude, I'm pissed.
You're going to lose your mind.
Well, there's still a chance it might not get banned. It's going to like the Supreme Court now. And I don't know.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. Do you have TikTok?
No, but I mean.
I don't have TikTok.
We rely on TikTok to get the pot out a little bit, I guess. People will be watching us on TikTok sometimes.
That's where all the trolls live. I love it.
What's Jared McCain going to do? He's going to be
rehabbing
his meniscus.
Oh, did
you see the video he put out after
he got
surgery?
I saw like a screen grab where he looked kind of like doped up.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
He looked fucked up.
He put out a TikTok like immediately after getting out of surgery, and he's just fucked up. It's so funny.
That's like Sansom getting his hair cut off. You take that from him, he might be ass then.
Nah, he'll be fine. I mean,
I don't know.
He's probably not playing the rest of the season, but...
He comes back, it's a whole new world. No TikTok.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some other similar thing to take his place.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, like, I mean, before TikTok, Vine was before TikTok?
Yeah, but Vine was
something between Vine and TikTok. I feel like there was.
Had to be, because Vine was so long.
Vine was like 2010.
Yeah. And that was only a set amount of time. That was like 10 seconds.
Was Snapchat?
Yeah, Vine was like 6 seconds or whatever. But then they started.
Snapchat kind of came out.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Snapchat then, wasn't like you could post for everyone like TikTok and like Vine.
Yeah.
What the hell was in between? Yeah.
Nothing,
there was something
really.
In between. No.
Well, I think like when Vine started declining, that's when like Instagram started getting more into video. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yo, Vine was hilarious, yo.
There are some good ones, yeah.
Yo, that we...
Yo, you ever seen them over? There's this kid at a Krispy Kreme. He's like, back at it again at Krispy Kreme. And he just does like these like two backflips and then just like... Knocks like a whole like light fixture out. It's like so fucking funny.
Yo, my
back at it again at Krispy Kreme.
My favorite Vine is where like this kid's sitting on a ledge. This like nerdy little kid with glasses sitting on a ledge, and he looks at the camera, and there's like a glass table down beneath him. And he tries to jump and land on the table, and he just jumps through it.
Oh,
and just
ruins
his shit.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that one's funny. Vine was funny, dude.
Yeah, people would get like pretty creative on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people do on TikTok too, but
I mean,
what's going to replace it?
some new fucking social media empire, and I don't know. It's just stupid. It all makes no sense to me. You're banning one, but then Instagram has reels or all this shit. Like, it's the same shit everywhere.
Yeah, Zuck's probably ready to clean up once TikTok.
He's the one that was like, "Hey man, you should
like ready to go as soon as this bill goes through."
He had a meeting in Mar-a-Lago with Trump. I was like, "Listen, you should probably bag this shit. Like, well, I will make sure that Facebook and Instagram are a lot more cleaned up than this is." He's like, "Yeah, that sounds about right." It's like they're the same thing, but one's just Chinese and one's based in the U.S.
Yeah, what a time to be alive, dude.
Yeah, stop Asian hate. Let TikTok live.
Yeah, until that arena gets there.
I guess we can transition to the Sixers.
We did. We kind of did with the McCain thing. There.
Yeah.
Sixers and Embiid could play practice sooner than practiced. Yeah.
So you hold up, man.
The Phantom of the Opera. The
Phantom of the process. The Phantom of the plan.
The Phantom of the plan. Ooh, I hurt my eye. Ooh, cover it up real quick. It'll be all right.
So, Pat, I know where you're at. You're like depressed my ass. I don't care. You're like suit up and play. Trevor, where are you at on Embiid?
I mean, I don't hold anything against him. I think it just sucks. It's just a series of unfortunate events.
Okay.
Ooh. You know, I mean, I don't blame him for, you know, clearly he's had some shit with his knee that's taken a lot of time to get norm. I don't know. When he has played, he's looked fucking good for the most part. Like, aside from, like, you know, maybe the first couple games he was back or whatever. But, you know, yeah, it just sucks. Like, his injury luck is just truly unbelievable. I mean, like, not that many people get facial fractures, and he's had fucking three now.
Yeah, so, like,
it's so insane.
Derek Bodner had this, like, article. It's wild. I'm going to pull it up and read it real quick. So, Derek Bodner published this for All-PHLY over the weekend. According to a study published by Dr. Parsa P. Salehi in 2020, there were 53 different players who suffered facial fractures between 1984 and 2018. Of those, only 15 were orbital bone fractures, and only one suffered a frontal sinus fracture. One player in Embiid to now have had three such fractures in his career, compared to the entire NBA having experienced only 15 such injuries over a 34 span, is so unlikely that it's preposterous. One of those 15 orbital bone fractures included in the study would have been Embiid, since he suffered his first one at the end of 2015, which was the last season this study was analyzed. So, dude, three out of, like, 15 in a 34-year span belong to him.
Oh, am I supposed to feel bad for the guy?
Not because he's injured, but, like, when you read this shit that he was saying before, like, before the facial fracture.
Am I supposed to give a fuck?
Before the facial fracture. So, like, Tim Bontemps did this.
It's just so crazy.
Tim Bontemps did this interview with Embiid and, like, wrote this article after he came back from the knee, whatever. We don't call it injury, the knee swelling. Then the arthritis is what I'm calling it.
Mm.
So he asked Embiid what it felt like. He says, depressing. Just trying to figure out. There's no injury, just between the swelling. We've got to get it figured out. That's it. I've been saying it for the last few months. It's been extremely depressing. It's something that hasn't been figured out. It's been extremely annoying because I would love to play in every game. It starts with health. It felt good to have the guys on the floor. I believe if we're healthy and we're on the floor, we have a chance against anybody and like what we have. I think the whole thing is about health. That's what it comes down to. I wish I could have been there from the beginning. I'd love to play every single game, every single minute, but sometimes your body just says, no, you can't do anything about it. All you can do is just keep working and fixing and get better. So, like, man, like, think about it. Like, he wants to, like, be out there, and his body isn't allowing him to. And I said this 2 weeks ago, and you were like, no, like, just get out there, put something on it.
Roast some dirt on it.
He just can't.
Hey, drink some milk.
Can't. He just can't. He probably should have been drinking milk.
He needs some milk.
His bones are weak as fuck. He needed some milk
before this, but it's too late.
Yeah. I get it. I'm not, obviously, I understand, you know, you can't always just go out there and tough it up or whatever, but, like, I guess my thing is that I don't have any more energy to be like, oh no, like, I hope if, like, it's just,
I don't have energy to be mad at him.
It's death, taxes, and Embiid getting hurt at some point. Like, there is just, it's inevitability. So, like, yeah, is it weird? Is it statistically almost improbable that someone gets hurt in the same thing three times in 50 years? Probably. But if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to a Philadelphian athlete. Like, it's not, it is what it is. It sucks. It's unfortunate. I get maybe his heart wants to be on there and play. At the same time, it's like, I'm just almost on the move on train. He clearly can't, whether it's our medical staff or whatever.
It's not really an option.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm just saying, like, moving on from, like, the emotions of him getting hurt. Like, it doesn't affect me when he gets hurt.
No, I mean, at this point,
it's
like,
For your own mental well-being,
you can't really
get too
upset about it.
Like, no, he gets hurt, I'm like, ah, shit. But like,
that sucks.
I don't, my care... It's not about him being off the team or whatever. Like, my care about him being hurt and, like, the timeline and stuff is so just exhausted.
That's just, well, that's fair.
That it's just like, yeah, I feel bad for the guy, obviously, as a person that sucks if you want to play. But, like, I don't care anymore to be like, he might play on next Monday. Or, like, they're looking like he's practicing or, like, he's doing shoot around. Like, cool. But it's just we've been down this road so many times that it's just exhausting.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, just tell him to rub some dirt on it, I don't think is fair, but...
To be fair, Trevor said that. I never said rub some dirt.
Nah,
I said drink some milk.
No, 2 weeks ago, you were saying, like, I don't care. Just go out there and play. Cut it off and play. I remember.
Well, I mean, you know, different times. People grow. People, you know,
Two weeks ago. Okay, yeah, I grew.
Things change.
Whatever.
Yeah. That was before the face thing, though, I will say.
Yeah, whatever.
That was his little, like, load management knee thing.
I mean, yeah, when he has arthritis and, like... It's not confirmed, though. I'm sure he does.
It's not confirmed.
I mean, we'll have to get Dean on the pod. Dean will tell you.
But it's not confirmed. So that statement I will then hold true. If I did say that at that time, sure. I'm not saying rub dirt on your face now to fix that shit. I agree with the injuries. I'm just saying.
Rub some dirt on them,
yeah.
Man.
I'm just saying.
Whatever, yo. Yeah, honestly, I don't really have any other energy to spill on the Sixers. Like, should they tank? I mean, they're kind of well-positioned to have a stealth tank, especially, like, if Embiid gets hurt again or Paul George gets hurt again. They probably should do it, but I don't think they're going to. I mean,
they're the most tankiest team without trying to tank. You know, people are dropping left and right, getting hurt. They did win, though. I mean,
New Orleans is really tanky.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're a bad team. New
Orleans is, in worse shape than the Sixers are. But, yeah, I mean, the Sixers have been winning some games against teams that they're – up against in the tanking sweepstakes. They've won 3 times against Charlotte.
Yeah,
at the end of the year, those 3 wins could matter.
Like, they have them tomorrow.
They haven't played the Wizards yet this year. The Wizards have 3 wins all season. So that's probably another 3 or 4 wins they're going to pick up. They haven't played the Pelicans. So even if the Sixers, even if we want them to tank, the chances that they're worse than the teams beneath them in the standings.
Yeah, there's just like... As crazy as it sounds, there's just too much talent on this Sixers team for them to really tank. It just can't be done, you know?
Which, like, I would love it if they could figure out a way to do so, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, only time will tell, and only injuries will tell as well.
I think.
But you know who's not tanking right now? Flyers are tied up 3-3.
No, hold up. I got some NBA. We got to talk.
You just said you were done talking about the Sixers.
About the Sixers, not the NBA.
All right.
So what do you think of this new All-Star game format?
I didn't read the whole thing.
I'm trying to pull it up now. Where is it? Where is this? It's like unnecessarily convoluted, and I don't really like it.
I saw 4 bullet points. I said, I'm not reading this.
All-Star game will be a mini tournament featuring 4 teams. Kind of like what the NHL does.
Yeah, yeah.
But 3 teams of NBA All-Stars, team of 8 players, 4th team. Will include rising stars champion. Each game played to a final target score of 40 points. It's gimmicky. I don't know. I mean,
it's not like the All-Star game could be any worse.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, like, I guess defense. I could commend them for trying something new.
I don't hate it. Good for the younger guys, I guess, if you can like play with the All-Stars, if you're on the rising stars team, to like kind of mesh that bridge, but... I don't know. All-Star games in general are typically pretty just...
Yeah, we had this conversation
anymore.
Before.
Yeah.
Baseball's got the best one, and it's still not even really that good.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, like, I don't know, man. I just feel like they should do like the Pro Bowl and just do away with it. Just make All-Star the NBA All-Star game this Saturday night, where it's a 3-point contest, the skills contest, the dunk contest. You know what they should do? They would never do this.
Injury contest.
No, they should have the NBA versus WNBA in an All-Star game.
I'm not going to comment.
I don't want to go down there with the whole can of worms.
What? Y'all are like, oh, the men would kill them.
You're talking about full teams or talking about skill contest?
Or what if they mixed them up?
Oh.
Yeah, mixing it up
like
would be great.
Like, you know.
I think that would make more sense.
Like some heyday sports
Yeah,
shit.
Mixing it up would be great.
That would be cool.
Like, you'd have, like, LeBron on a team with like Caitlin Clark and like
and Angel Reese Wilson. Is playing with
You have Angel Reese on a team with like Steph Curry and I don't know.
I think that makes sense.
Paul George, like that would be cool.
I think that would be kind of cool. Even that, like would, if, that would be like just interesting to watch because I just like how what is this gonna look like? You know, it'd be at least kind of interesting. But the, I guess the problem with that is that the leagues don't play at the same time.
Yeah, but the WNBA doesn't play until May.
Yeah, they could just. And it's they ain't doing anything.
It's an exhibition game.
Yeah. But I guess some of them are probably playing overseas, like during the
like the All Stars don't need to. Some of the All Stars, All Star WNBA players,
The ones with sponsorship deals and shit.
Exactly. Don't. Yeah, Caitlin Clark ain't playing overseas.
Yeah,
Plus, the WNBA has their like their new 3-on-3 league. A lot of those girls aren't playing overseas this year, but we don't need to get too into that. I just think the NBA, like they, even the NBA Cup.
No, I didn't
watch a single minute of the NBA Cup. No one cares.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so I guess we can get into the big question that everyone's talking about now, but that the NBA ratings are down.
Yeah.
Why do you guys – what are your guys' theories?
So, I mean, they're down locally because the Sixers are bad. Like, let's get that out
of the way. Well, yeah, but they're down, like, overall.
So, I'll let LeBron
– In the U.S., I guess.
I'll let LeBron speak to that. Where's this quote from LeBron?
I don't think there's a lot of good teams out there. Like, I think obviously there's good teams that are playing for sure, but I think that like, you know, it's pretty. It's almost like a predictable like league right now. Like Boston's going to demolish anyone they play. You know, the Lakers are the other like the West Coast Celtics, pretty much.
No, the Lakers are bad this year, dude.
My point though is that like that's like the big brand that everyone like, you know, it's like Dallas at a point. You know, people want to watch. If you're not in the U.S. or whatever, like they're the localized brand or whatever, everybody's pretty just washed up or bad or hurt. It's just boring. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like no game right now. Like even today, right? Like I'm waiting to like put the Flyers on, which I never say. And there were games on. I'm like, I don't even need to watch. Like I don't even really give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's just I don't know what, you know.
So here's what LeBron had to say. So first they asked him about the All-Star game.
No, I did not. Okay. I was not part of the committee.
He said he didn't like it. I think Book did too.
Everyone has their own opinion.
It's pretty unorthodox.
Can y'all hear that?
Yeah, I mean, it's different, you know, in a sense. But I don't know. I don't really have a – we see. We see when we get there. It's different. Obviously, anytime you make some type of change, it's going to be some bug back I don't know. I mean, I have my ideas of what could possibly work.
That's kind
of
why, yeah, I'd love to get
to that. I'm not going to do that.
But, like, coming out of Indiana, when you saw the reaction.
we got to do something. Obviously, the last couple of years have not been a great All-Star game that Sunday night. But, I mean, listen, it's a bigger conversation. It's not just the All-Star game. It's our game in general. Our game is, it's a lot of fucking threes being shot. Mm-hmm. So it's a bigger conversation, just the All-Star game.
What do you want
to say? I can't do that today. Not in Sacramento. Sacramento, I love you guys, but you can't give you this conversation today.
So yeah, I mean, LeBron kind of just said it, dude. He's just like, yeah, the NBA just become a three-point shooting contest. And like, yeah, you could sit there and marvel at like a guy's ability to shoot a bunch of threes or a team's ability to shoot a bunch of threes. Like, I don't know. We all came up in the age of, like, AI and, like, Vince Carter and Kobe. And like, like, late stage Michael Jordan where, like, there was a lot more, like, skill. And, like, teams could actually or were allowed to play defense. Now in the NBA, like, you can't play any goddamn defense. You get called for a foul for breathing on a guy.
Right.
And I like, think that's a big part of it.
It's a soft league.
And, like, yeah, you have guys flopping. Like, Embiid. Love him, but like he's a big flopper. Like Jalen Brunson in the playoffs last year, how much did he flop?
Yeah,
it was just infuriating.
That's why Embiid gets hurt all the time
too. Blame the players for doing it because it's like that just becomes part of the game.
Yeah, it's just part of the rules.
Want to get the calls? Like.
So yeah, I think a lot of the problem with the NBA is that the game has just become something where it rewards just. I don't want to say low amounts of skill because shooting threes like from 40 feet away takes a lot of skill, but it rewards. Levels of skill that aren't necessarily the most entertaining to watch from a fan perspective. Like, I want to watch a guy just, like, throw down on someone or a guy go one-on-one in ISO and like hit a tough mid-range fadeaway. Like you see some of that, yeah. but not what you were used to seeing. I also think that like teams don't really run plays. Like they have concepts and they have schemes, but like you don't really see like really like exciting play calls other than maybe on like out of bounds plays.
Yeah.
Whereas like that's one of the cool things about football. Every time a quarterback has the ball, you're going to see an exciting play. Or you have potential to see an exciting play.
The potential's there, yeah.
You're by the offense or the defense. Like baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The ball's only in play for a certain amount of time. And each time there's a level or a sense of, yeah, this could be like someone on base. This could be a hit. Like hockey's just constant action. They don't necessarily run plays. The action is so constant
that it's just so much. Yeah, the chaos
it's just
makes
so
it
much
exciting.
More compelling
yeah.
to watch. Then base or basketball. What do you call it? Worldwide Wob on Twitter. Trevor, you follow him. He's like like the NBA like influencer on Twitter. He's kind of annoying sometimes, but a lot of times he has good takes. One of his like things he's been doing a lot is like the last 2 minutes NBA games take so goddamn long.
Oh my god,
long,
they're insufferable.
He'll like tweet sometimes like, yeah, the last 2 minutes of like Kings Mavericks took 32 minutes to play.
Yeah.
It's like no one wants to sit around for watch the last 2 minutes of an NBA game take 30 minutes.
Yeah,
like the whole first three quarters of the game almost took that much time.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
no one has time for that. So yeah, I think there's just a whole bunch of stuff wrong with the NBA. And like LeBron was probably going to get to more of it, but like he came up in 2003, which is the era we're watching right. basketball and getting excited about it. Just it's become such a far cry from that. And Pat, to your point, it's there are your star players that you enjoy watching. Like Jokic, I love to watch Jokic play now that like Embiid won MVP. I don't need to hate Jokic anymore. And like I love to watch Luka play. Like Luka's just mercurial, just offensive star. But like outside of that, like LeBron's older, he's not the force that he used to be.
Yeah, all these, like Jalen Brunson's stars annoying. Are just kind of like old and have to sit out a lot. Right. Like KD's always hurt. You know, Kawhi's always hurt.
I don't know if Kawhi's played a game in like a year and a half.
Yeah, just you know,
outside of like you know, like you said, just to go to Giannis, people like to watch Giannis play.
I don't like to watch him play.
I like to watch Giannis play.
Barrels into the lane like an idiot.
But like at least it's something different to see. Like he's not taking weird threes all the time. He's at least doing something that's interesting. Like there's no, I don't know. It's just a weird. It's a weird era of building like a big three or like a super team or whatever where. You almost saturate the team then. You have all these superstars on these teams. I mean, even the Sixers are guilty of that too, you know, if they were healthy.
I think that's part of why they suck this year is because they built the team around three stars, two which are hurt.
You miss frequently. Like you miss having a guy where like, okay, you have Harden in, you know, Houston where there's nobody else really down there, but he's putting up 50 points a fucking game for 10 games in a row. You're like, all right, well, that's kind of sick. But now that you put him with Kawhi, even when he was with PG, like it's boring. It's predictable. Yeah. I mean, even Dame moving to a different team. Like, the bad teams are real bad, and the good teams are okay. Like, there's nothing exciting to watch when things are popping off. Even the Knicks versus Celtics and shit like that, it's like, it's just...
I mean, well, the Celtics are the poster child for it, because they're going to shoot 63s a game.
Yeah, but they can at least put up 145
well,
whatever
I don't care.
Points. Like I'm just saying, that's
they're
fine.
They're just shooting threes over and over. It's like, cool.
But no one can stop that. They're like a weird, unique kind of one-off. But I think the league as a whole tries to be. I mean, it's really since the introduction of Steph Curry that like people are now.
Yeah,
like,
him and Harden changed the game.
You
in
know,
the 2010s.
Which is fine because they're unique ability. Like they love their game, they're fine. But every team now is looking for a sharpshooter three-pointer.
Yeah,
and they're not building a defense. They're not building any other people around them, and it's just boring. For right now, I mean, it'll change. You know.
Too many private school kids coming up in the NBA now, I think.
Yeah. There's no dogs up in there.
Yeah. No more public school dogs.
Yeah. Like the NBA isn't becoming too white. That's certainly not the problem. But like they are becoming too bougie, too dramatic.
So, petty. Like, it's a petty
you know,
league.
Here's the other thing. I've been saying this for a year and a half. You watch the WNBA, you don't see girls screaming for fouls. Like, falling all over the place. Like the WNBA has a lot of drama and it's actually pretty exciting to watch sometimes, but it's not like, oh, like he pushed me or they're not flopping. It's like, oh yeah, like she's a hoe. Yeah. Like they say stuff like that on the court. I'm like, damn, okay. But like those women are just out there to play. Like they're just out there to ball. They're having a good time. Like they're not here to say like, yeah, like yeah, so-and-so fouled me, or like so-and-so boned my wife. And like, no, it ain't, it's not all about that. Like, it's just about hooping, which is what it was like in the early 2000s and like even the 2010s. And it's kind of just gone away from that. And like, I don't know how you fix it. The easiest way is to get rid of Adam Silver, but that's easier said than done. And I think that's about it. Like, I could probably unload a little bit more, but I recognize we got to move on.
Yeah. What else we got going on? The Flyers? What are they doing right now?
It was tied 3-3.
It was 3-3. I don't know what they're up to right now. Still 3-3.
Oh, we might can watch the end of the game.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like every week's kind of the same story. Like, yeah. They're just kind of hovering around the bubble. Will they make some trades? Will they not? I don't know. Well,
yo, hold up. I got a couple things, right? So, the player movement freeze is cool. In the NHL, how they have, like, the, like, you can't trade guys around the holidays, the holiday, like, trade freeze.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because last night, I was scrolling through Twitter, I was seeing trades pop off. I'm like, why are trades popping off in early December? And I'm like, oh, because they don't want to trade someone during the holidays. You'd rather just get it done now instead of having to wait till March. That's the other thing, NHL trade deadline so late. So, like, yeah, it's like, yeah, we got to trade guys now. I was like, damn.
Yeah, I kind of like that, yeah.
Like, the NBA should adopt something like that.
Some intrigue.
Just to make things more exciting. But, like, yeah, as far as the Flyers trade candidates, we can get into that later. I don't think they're going to do anything between now and the freeze. The freeze is what, like Monday?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anything's really happening. Which, yeah. Like, I don't care that much.
Does any team take Fedotov into that heavy contract? I would love that.
I don't think so.
Because he ain't playing. Kolesov's officially the second string.
I don't think there's any team that's that needy for a goalie that are going to take on that contract for a guy that's at backup at best.
Okay. What do you think happens to Fedotov?
I mean, if he clears waivers, I guess he goes to the Phantoms.
Kill him.
I think some team's going to pick him up, but
I don't know. I don't know if they have money.
I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, Kolesov, like, he's looking good. Erickson also hasn't been looking so great. Kolesov might be the starting goalie soon.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's not the worst thing in the world. He's much younger. He's like the more exciting prospect.
He's only like 2 or 3 years younger. Erickson's pretty young, yo.
Yeah, I guess he is. Yeah, Erickson, yeah, that's true. But I don't know. I feel like Kolesov has more of the raw athletic ability.
He's the higher touted prospect.
Yeah, sure. He has like the higher ceiling. Nothing against Erickson. He's been fine, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not really that into the idea of them trying to. I definitely don't want them to trade like draft capital for. Unless it's someone that could be around for a while.
Yeah, like if it's Zegras.
Yeah, if it's someone that's young and could, you know, I mean, right now they're, I guess. As has been the case the entire season, they have a real lack of depth in center. They don't really have a great guy to play with Mishkov.
Yeah, you got to get used to that. The Russian mob will come after your ass.
I know.
The Chekhov.
But, yeah, I mean, as it stands now, the best center they have to play with him is Morgan Frost, and they're clearly don't seem to be sold on him as a long-term option.
Yeah, Kutz is older.
Yeah, I feel like the moves that they're going to make are going to come after the season. I don't think they're going to be making splashes at the trade freeze or at the deadline.
They might sell at the deadline. Like, I still think Ristolainen probably goes.
They could sell for sure, yeah.
And like Lawton, I don't know. Lawton had that 4-goal game. That was sick, yo.
Yeah, boost up that trade value.
Yeah, but you know? I think Lawton's staying a Flyer for life, yo. I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lawton's just such a culture setter and such a Flyer.
They definitely like him.
Bunch of Flyer
guy. They like having him around.
But, nah, I mean, we'll see. Mishkov, he's at 27 points through 30 games. I think yours truly predicted around 60 points. That's looking good, dude.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get hurt or that Tortorella doesn't scratch him for some dumbass reason again. That's looking good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's been great.
Yeah, he the game, this was like 2 weeks ago, but we didn't record last week, where he got ejected. Did you see this? Where he got ejected from the game with like a minute left. and he was signing autographs on the way off the ice. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
And then, like, what do you call it? Before a game last week, like, NBC Sports Philadelphia interviewed him, and, like, they were asking him, like, yeah, so, like, what do you think of the NHL? Like, is this game more physical? Is it harder? He's like, no, I just play. He didn't answer in English, but, like, he answered through the interpreter. He's like, no, I just come out and play hockey. That's hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, they asked him, or they didn't ask him this, but at some point he said, yeah, like, my English is getting better, but not good enough for the camera. I can't wait till he can come out and start speaking English
and just, like, camera. Do interviews straight up.
But he's the man, dude. I'm so excited that, like, he's succeeding and still, like, the odds. I didn't look at the betting odds for him to win the Calder Trophy, but he's got to be first by a mile.
I don't know. I mean, so
Celebrini's been closing the gap. But
yeah, I think, like, Celebrini doesn't have the points, but I think that just because he plays center, I think is, like, probably going to put him a little more. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm pulling for our Russian lad, dude.
Yeah,
Russian Jesus.
I hope he pulls it out. I wouldn't be surprised if Celebrini gets it, but I mean, who cares, honestly?
I care. The Flyers have never had anyone win the Calder Trophy.
Really?
Never.
Hmm.
I don't think so, anyway. The Ghost almost did.
Yeah, he was up there, but... Yeah, I guess they haven't really, like...
They don't usually have rookies that play a lot.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, when they do, they aren't, like, that good. That's why Ghost was such, a phenom when he came up. But, yeah, so, like, I care. The same way I cared about Jared McCain before, like, now he's not going to win it. Because the NBA has a stupid rule where you have to play a certain amount of games.
Yeah,
he ain't going to win it. Quinion Mitchell could.
He good. He definitely
he's
good.
He's betting favorite right now.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's the betting favorite right now.
Cooper the Jeans, number 5.
Damn.
So, yeah, I mean, I want all the rookies to do well, dude. I want all my young bucks, my young lords to do well, yo. They deserve it. The city deserves it. We deserve to have young stars.
There's 21 corners in the league right now that have played 500-plus snaps. Only one hasn't given up a touchdown.
Q, baby.
Yeah.
Yep. Quinion Mitchell. You know what I realized today?
Guantanamo Bay.
Nah, Quinion Mitchell and Quentin Michael sound kind of similar.
I like Quentin. Quentin Michael was good.
Quentin Michael was good. Quinion Mitchell should be better.
He was on that secondary that had
the 04 team,
and all
I
them
think.
Teams. Yeah, Sheldon Brown.
He was like Lito the unsung hero, unsung hero on those teams. Yep.
Yeah. That makes sense. You got Trotter Jr. now, too.
Yeah. Come full circle. What goes around comes around.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I don't got nothing else on the Flyers, I don't think. We'll see if they win this game against the Kings. The Disney on Ice trip is looming. Stupid-ass Disney on Ice. Probably one of the dumbest things ever, if I'm being honest. I feel very strongly a certain way about Disney adults. If you're a Disney adult and you're listening to this podcast, I appreciate you listening. But know that I am skeptical of what you enjoy in life. And this is coming from the guy that played drums in a video game music band for 10 years. So that's something.
Yeah.
It's true, though.
Yeah. You know, is what it is.
Yeah, we all have our own vices.
We don't yuck other people's yums, but I'm skeptical. There's a difference.
Right.
I'm not yucking your yum. I'm just a skeptic of your yum.
Shifty eye towards the Disney adults.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Joe listens to this, doesn't he?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Because I know his wife. Okay. Joe, if you're listening, I do apologize on behalf of myself to you and your wife.
Well, I think that'll...
We don't have any nonsense to talk. We still got a few minutes.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Luigi real quick? Because, yeah, last time he had just shot the man. It wasn't known that he...
Well, he's a fine little Italian man.
He was a Philly resident.
Yeah.
At the time of the assassination.
Yeah.
Also, he got caught in Altoona. You know what that's close to? Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and you know, you seen that sorry looking pizza?
Yeah, you wanted that Altoona pizza.
Dude,
that
American, that was disgusting.
American cheese on. That's a grilled cheese, my homie. That is not a pizza.
Yeah.
Toontown. Can't trust it.
Looks like it could be good, but.
No.
But that's not pizza, though.
No, like, yeah, it's kind of the same. That's the same way I feel about, like, deep dish. It's like, it's
deep,
good. I think
still it's still pizza, though, in its surface level.
You can't put deep dish on the same category as grilled cheese with.
Deep dish at least still has the roots of a pizza. It's just thicker. Where that was just looking like some out. Not looking good.
And then
good.
He got caught in the McDonald's. If you're a McDonald's employee, I hope it wasn't the employees.
No, I think it was a customer.
I was going to say, you're an employee.
All of this is so fishy. Like, I don't know. It's all so weird, but...
The Monopoly money?
Yeah, why he's got Monopoly.
It's unclear if that was, like, actually hit. I don't know. There's so many weird fucking things about it. I feel like if we really wanted to do a deep dive, it would take, like, an hour, but...
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to do a separate pod where when the Eagles are on bye week.
Yeah.
When they're watching case live, you know what I mean? Put it on live real quick, watch the case go down, do an emergency pod. Yeah.
There's a lot of things. We have a hard enough time recording
once a week. We're going
to
do an emergency pod for this?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You're smoking dope. I believe you aren't doing that.
I believe in us.
You're the one that drops out the most from recording. You ain't doing that.
Yeah, well, injuries are a crazy bug. I might get beat out of here, you know what I mean?
Injuries are a crazy bug, says the guy that's telling, what do you call it, to play with a torn thumb.
I'm like getting beat out here, you know what I mean? You can't, every now and then, you catch an elbow here and there, and my orbital bone.
You're telling Derek Hall to play out there with a torn thumb ligament when he can't even grip a bat.
I'm not going to pay for this shit.
You're a little sick, and you're like, oh, yeah, I can't record this
week. Well, I want to get you guys sick. Yeah. I mean, we're in a basement. I'm not trying to get you guys infected.
Mm-hmm. My immune system's solid.
Now it's all about
Jared. I never get sick. I get sick like once every 2 years. My immune system's strong as hell, dude.
Yeah, I don't really get sick like that.
Mm-hmm. You know what you need.
Write that down. Well,
you need to start taking some vitamins, drinking your water.
Yeah, get some of that D3.
You need to be healthy, yo.
Water, fuck that. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, fuck that? You do need to be drinking some water.
I drink enough water throughout the day. Sure, I'm like a camel, though.
There's a lot of water.
Miller Lite?
What's the main ingredient in beer? Pretty sure it's water.
Yeah,
checkmate, motherfucker. All right, well, I gotta pee really bad, I think that will just about do it for us tonight, everybody. Thank you for listening and tuning in and watching or whatever. Please leave us a 5-star rating or review. If you ever need a podcast, give us a subscribe on YouTube, follow up on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Send us an email at citywidepod@gmail.com. And from all of us here at the Citywide, good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Merry Christmas. Ho, Merry ho, Christmas. Ho.